Welcome to Remember Blank, the Patreon exclusive show where we remember our favorite and sometimes least favorite video game memories. I'm one of your hosts, of course, Greg Miller, alongside Barrett and Mike, and you can be part of the nostalgia over at kindoffunny.com/rememberblank, where we need your input on remembering your favorite Spider-Man video game and Comic-Con video game related memories. This week's topic is pulled from the Kind of Funny Games cast. Let's remember Assassin's Creed, the one, the only CEO Jr., a.k.a. Boss Baby Barrett Courtney.
Yes.
Just put up a banger of an episode of the Kind of Funny Games cast where he reviews Assassin's Creed Mirage, giving it what, Barrett?
A 4 out of 5, a great score on the Kind of Funny review scale.
And me and Mike, I think, are firmly behind you on that. Mike, you've already beaten it. I'm about 5 hours in, had to stop for Spider-Man. I can't wait to get back to it. It was such a great refresher of why I love Assassin's Creed. Mike, am I crazy?
No, you're right on. I think Barrett did an incredible job on the review. Gamescast was so much fun to listen to. And I'm right there with you. I had a great time with this game, and I'm really enjoying it.
So, of course, you can go get that episode of the Gamescast. You can start playing Mirage right now. But we thought we'd remember your memories, our memories, everyone's memories of Assassin's Creed. Barrett, as the Assassin's Creed expert, our Mirage reviewer, and, of course, the holder of Assassin's Creed in review. How did you get started with Assassin's Creed? What is your Assassin's Creed memory?
I mean, I've got plenty of memories. It's a weird one. So, like, I think Assassin's Creed 1 came out in 2007, right? So that was a year before I moved out to San Francisco, and I did not own a 360 at the time. But a buddy of mine, Joey, had a 360, and I remember watching him play Assassin's Creed 1 and just thought it was such a cool concept of, like, oh, they're actually, like, kind of rooting it in actual, like, history here, and it's just, like, very, like, it was, like, one of, like, the early games that I remember of, like, watching and being like, oh, this is, like, a video game for adults, you know? Like, I remember very, like, distinctly, like, I think it's early on once you actually, like, kind of get into the flow of the game. There's, like, one dude who's, like a prisoner or something that you're trying to, like, kind of infiltrate and get some information out of this area. But, like, the cutscene to introduce you to this area, this dude is kind of, like, being held, like, kind of, like, at an angle, and this other dude just fucking, like, stomps on his kneecaps and breaks his kneecaps. And I was like, God damn, what is this game, man? But I thought it was such a cool concept, and once I got my 360, God, that was right when I moved to San Francisco. That was, like, you know, I moved across the country with my mom, and my mom got me a 360 as, like, hey, sorry, I took you away from...
Sorry I ripped you away from your friends.
Yeah,
you knew.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but I didn't go back. Like, Assassin's Creed wasn't, like, a thing where I was like, oh, I need to pick that up or anything. It wasn't until high school that I think it was 2 and Brotherhood were already out, I believe, and friends of mine from high school were, like, really into the Ezio stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember being at my friend Vinny's, and he was playing, God, I forget if it was 2 or Brotherhood, but it was a moment when you're Ezio and you get the piece of Eden and you're, like, holding it and you're, like, fucking up all these Templar dudes. And I was like, man, this is weird and cool. And so that's how I got back into it, was I borrowed Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood from him and played through them and was just, like, so into it at the time. Like, that was such a moment in time of both 2 and Brotherhood coming out. And so that's where I got into the series, because I remember, like, I remember when Revelations came out, and my friend Shavila and I, like, being really into Revelations when it came out. And then, of course, like, Black Flag, when that came around, that was a big thing. I was living with my friend Jack, I just graduated high school. I was, like, taking classes at City College, and that was just such a fun time of playing it, like, just having, like, my friend Ricky hang out with me, and we're just, like, really into, like, just the tone setting of listening to all the sea shanties and all this stuff when you're just, like, sailing out in the deep blue. That was such an amazing thing. The interesting standout moments, I've got, like, 2, though, that aren't just, like, getting into the series. One, I remember there's the kind of, like, the big one, right? Unity and Rogue, the first time that they're coming out with 2 games. Unity being, like, the next-gen game, and Rogue being the old previous-gen game. Rogue being more of, like, a spiritual successor to Black Flag in many ways. And then Unity being something that they're trying to be cool, like, experimental with, right? And I remember being cautious about Unity, especially if, like from a consumer perspective, right?
Yeah,
it's like, man, where the fuck are the reviews for this game?
Never.
And it was
time,
the morning of, the game was available since midnight, and reviews, the review embargo was like 8 a.m. So the game had been out for 8 hours, yeah. And the review embargo dropped. And I remember, like, I was such a, and still am, like, an Assassin's Creed, like, fan. And even with that, like, oh, man, this is probably not going to be great, I still drove to GameStop that day and picked it up. And I was into it. I think it's, Unity has a lot of problems and stuff like that. But I remember that being a huge moment of, like, where the hell are these reviews? And then, like, the first special moment of being in this industry was, let's see, I started at IGN in 2016, so Origins came out the year after. And I think still to this day, Assassin's Creed Origins is the only review event I've ever been to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that was here in San Francisco, right? But, like, they had rented out, like, a space here in the city that myself, JR from Wikis, and then I believe Alana was the one who reviewed Origins, I believe, and it was the three of us, we would go there, and that was pretty much our work day, from Monday. Like, the review event was from Monday to Friday, and we'd go in, and it was, like, kind of nice because it was closer to where I lived, so it was, like, not as bad of a commute.
Confirmed, it's Alana.
Yeah, so it was the three of us, and we would go in 9 to 5 and play through Origins. And I was part of the gameplay capture team, and so our responsibilities are doing things like the first minutes, graphics comparisons, just fun gameplay clips in general. One of the things I think I remember us doing in Origins was like a kind of like a comparison of like iconic things that you do throughout Assassin's Creed. So like the like eagle synchronization and like doing a tower jump and like doing fun things like that. So I remember like capturing stuff like that. But like the big project for me that week was, all right, let's try to do like a Assassin's Creed every cutscene kind of thing. And so my goal was to essentially play through Origins and beat Origins to get all of the cutscenes captured so that after that review event week, I could go back to home base the week after and edit it all together. And it was by day two where I think we realized how big Origins was. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know if I can do this. But I was able to do it. I think I rolled credits on Origins at the end of day four. And then Friday, I went in. I didn't spend the whole day there on Friday, but I went in and, like, just, like, did a bunch of things of, like, let's do a whole, like, day-night cycle. Let's do traveling across the map, not as Bayek, but as his eagle, and flying across the map as his bird. And so, yeah, that was just such a, like, a weird thing, because especially, like, they had, like, really nice TVs. This was also the same year as the Xbox One X coming out, I believe, Mike, if you can correct me on that. But that was like a whole thing where they hadn't sent us like review things for the One X yet, but Ubisoft was partnering, I think, with Xbox to like have us review it on the Xbox. So that's why that whole review event happened. So it was like these really nice TVs that we're playing on the like new hardware and all this stuff. But they had us on like really uncomfortable bar stools. Nice. Nice. Like no one had the foresight of being like, all right, they're going to be
sitting here for hours,
8 hours a day, 5 days in a row on these super, super uncomfortable bar stools. No. And I remember I won't get too into it. Just because it's not my story to tell, but Alana did injure herself that like Monday, so she was like, "Hey, I can't be sitting on this fucking bar stool all week." So thankfully, they were able to accommodate
get
her
any
for
real
that.
Chair?
I think that they didn't have any real chairs, but they were able
get
to find
a
couch.
Bed. Okay.
So that was a weird one, and now I've got this new memory of it being the. It's like a really cool thing of being the lead reviewer for an Assassin's Creed for the first time.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
That was special, so. Yeah.
Mike, what about you? When you think of Assassin's Creed and your memories of it, like, where does it start?
Oh, man. I mean, like Barrett said, it starts at one, right? 17 years old, senior year of high school. Like, you couldn't have given me a better game to just sit in front of the television and waste away my weekends and school nights and never do schoolwork with. I mean, Assassin's Creed was special, right? We're talking about parkour stealth game. It had everything that a young adult would want, and it was rad back in the day. I'll never forget, like Barrett said, climbing up to the highest tower, freaking synchronizing with the world, unlocking more of the map, getting the cool eagles, caca, and you get to see everything before you make the jump. Like, that was some of the raddest gaming moments you could ever remember in my history with gaming. And then on top of that, right, like, all the funny moments that you have with the parkour. Like, it's never quite perfect, but when you do sync it up perfect, it feels great. But you'll always run into a wall. You'll always fall down. You'll always stop mid-climb because you're not pressing the right direction. But for me, it was Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and, of course, Brotherhood. Then it gets interesting for me because Assassin's Creed 3 put a bad taste in my mouth. I did not like the opening to Assassin's Creed 3, and I think a lot of people felt that it was much slower. I think Barrett said it so well on a review recently, or just talking about it with me, of like that opening is a lot more like natural environments to climb on, like trees and stuff, as opposed to what I was used to with building.
The theater!
And it was like, oh man, like this is such a hard slowdown, and this is not what I wanted.
But it was also, like, that was definitely gameplay-wise, like, what that game struggled with, because that was, like, something new and weird and different for the franchise at the time. But the problem with that game, Mikey, was just, like, the pacing of the story.
Correct.
Whereas, like, you're playing as Haytham for, like, 3 to 4 hours, and then you play as Connor, but you have to play as Connor as a kid.
That hurt.
And then a
that
teen,
hurt.
And then an adult, and then you have to do the whole training sequence to become an assassin, and then you're finally assassin, and then it's 12 hours into the game, and now you have 8 hours left in the game.
And it is too bad that that has how it played out game-wise, flow-wise, because when you look at it, the lead-up to this, right, the marketing, hey, you're going to be in the American Revolution, right? Like, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
The Redcoats are invading. It's going to be nuts. Like, this, to me, was like, oh, this is really cool idea. I can't wait to see it come to life and, like, play it. And I absolutely fell off so quick on that. But then for me, my final true Assassin's Creed experience was Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I loved Black Flag to death. I thought it was so rad. And then after that, it just becomes me playing a little bit of Assassin's Creed, falling out of love with Assassin's Creed, never giving it what I want and, like, giving it the full due. Assassin's Creed Syndicate, didn't really play it. Assassin's Creed Unity, you would think as the multiplayer guy, that was going to be my game. Didn't have any friends to play it with. Origins got me back and excited because I loved the theme of Egypt. I loved the mummy. Like, I thought this was going to be for me. And when I peeled it back and it's like, oh, this is a massive experience, I hit the brakes on that. So Valhalla, Odyssey, Origins, all out of it.
Get out of here.
I do want to give a big shout out, though. One that I'll never forget, Assassin's Creed Chronicles. I'll never forget just being wowed by, like, oh, wow, look at them trying to do something completely different and not what I want out of Assassin's Creed. But, like, it's fun to see people play in the playground and in the sandbox, like we always say, and do something different. So I wanted to make sure to highlight that because I'll never forget seeing them and going, that's weird and different. Good for them. And just walking away. So that's kind of my background with Assassin's Creed. I will always love them, and it will always be special. But it is interesting how fast I fell off of them at a certain moment and haven't really got back on the train until now.
Well, as you know, I'm old, so I was working at IGN in 2007, of course, when Assassin's Creed originally came out.
I was 12.
Yeah, Mike was a senior in high school, we've heard. We covered it.
Yeah.
We understand.
We're moving on.
But I remember, you know, Hillary came back from the preview, and I think it might have even been his headline. I couldn't dig it up quick enough before we started recording. But he came back and was like, this is like the first next-gen game. This game feels like something incredibly special and different and, you know, kind of harkening back to this is an adult video game kind of thing. And, of course, Hillary went on to review it, and he had a scathing opening, I remember, because, again, it's so hard to preview a game then come back and review it. He gave it a 7.5, right? Not terrible. But his review opened like this. Assassin's Creed could easily have been one of the best games of 2007. It is, without question, impressive on several fronts. But developer Ubisoft Montreal took some missteps along the way and squandered the immense potential of its pseudo-stealth action title. A bad story, repetitive gameplay elements, and poor AI lead to the downfall of one of the more promising games in recent memory. Assassin's Creed could have been one of the great games of this generation, but instead, it turned into just another action title. And I remember that kind of set the tone for this game at IGN, right? I remember picking it up, playing it, and very much falling in line with that, where I was like, oh, okay, I don't like, oh, I got to do what to blame, oh, man, and I put it down and walked away.
So you're probably leading this, so I'm fascinated of, like, what does that do for y'all when you either preview AC2 or, like, review codes are coming in for AC2. Like, what was that experience like?
Well, again, I'm so old. Remember, codes didn't exist. So
one
person
physical
would get
copies,
pissed,
right.
And then we would all wait and probably have to buy our own copies.
Yeah.
It was that idea of, I think it lowered the bar so much on what people expected out of Assassin's Creed. By the time 2009 rolls around, AC2 came in and just blew our socks off. I remember going home with that and popping in and being like, I'm sure I'm not going to, oh my God, in going on and platinuming that, you know, chasing down every collectible, doing everything. You know, there's so many great write-ins we have, right, from people. Of course, I always need your help, please. I need you to write in, you know, to get there and talk about it. So you go to kindoffunny.com/rememberblank to be part of the nostalgia. Josh Bachrez says, being mesmerized with the beginning of AC2, Ezio's family getting killed made me really invested in the story.
Yep.
And that's exactly, you all know me so well, and that's what got me with 2. Of starting up 2 and being like, yo, fuck, they're telling a story here. Like, this is going somewhere. And then having them ripped away and that launching his story and being like, oh, man, I'm all
in. The historical character actually has a personality this time.
Right? Yeah, exactly. He wasn't just somebody to imprint on, right? And so I was so all about 2, and that really did ignite me for that franchise of moving on. And, you know, I played Revelations and did all that jazz. But, you know, it is like I have this – it's funny. I started into this conversation on XCast when I was talking about the X screen and a bit about Mirage. But I got cut off and we went somewhere else with it. But it was so cool to be on the plane going back to Missouri, right, and playing the X screen, playing Mirage. I'm playing an Xbox One or an Xbox Series S in my plane seat. It's the full-blown thing. I'm having so much fun with it. And I have such a distinct memory of November 2009 going back to Chicago for Thanksgiving and playing Assassin's Creed Bloodlines on my PSP.
Wow.
And being like, yo, this isn't a great game, but I'm playing Assassin's Creed on a plane. That's cool. I'm having a good time with it. And that was how, you know, obviously being the PlayStation guy, you have stuff like Vita and Liberation in there and all these like, little things that got tossed out where there were, for me, it was either I either loved an Assassin's Creed or was like, and put it down pretty quick. And for a while there, it was love. And you talk about Black Flag. I remember, you know, coming back with the PlayStation 4, right, and having that and jumping in and so many hours being sunk into Black Flag. And then, you know, eventually, like, I was doing island by island. And I want to say it was like I had 30 or 25 hours into that game and realized I was still, like, only a third of the way through the islands. And I was like, I'm never going to see the end of this. I need to move on to whatever Game of the Year candidate. This has been fantastic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for me too, you know, I tried Origins, and it just didn't click at the time, and it never has. I've gone back since my love affair with Odyssey.
So good.
But it was going to the Odyssey preview at E3 that year and going in there and seeing Cassandra and the dialogue choices popping up and like seeing, I was like, oh my God, like I think this is going to be awesome. And sure as shit it was. And that's a game I've like 130 hours into. Shut up, Baron. Sure as shit it was. 130 hours into, right? God. And then, so it's just been, you know, Valhalla, even, you know, a game that I would never say I am a huge fan of, but I still have like 65 hours into it because it was just so much fun to play. And that was the thing with Mirage. You know, I've said it a few times, but if you missed it, like, that first night, Barrett texts me, like, we're back, baby. And it was like, I was back there for the first time in 3 years, stealthing and killing and doing all the stuff. And I was like, man, this game is awesome.
Yep.
I'm having so much fun with this.
You know, since I really got on board with Hitman 3 in the past couple of years, really made me appreciate this time around with Assassin's Creed Mirage, right, where I really went hardcore into the stealth and, like, looked at the playground a little bit differently than when I was 17 just running around murdering people, right?
Right.
Like, it was cool to be like, oh, man, in Hitman, I do X, Y, and Z, and then to be like, oh, wait, I can do that all here, right? Whether it be the smoke bomb or a whistle over to the side of a wall and me pulling them off. Like, it was cool to be like, let me get really deep into the stealth playground of it all and experience it again. It was really fun.
A couple of other things that I want to throw out. Like, obviously, just like, so, like, the stories back then were just so, like, crazy at the time, and especially with 2 and Brotherhood. Like, obviously, everybody always points to the Who is Desmond moment, but I remember distinctly the end of Brotherhood, where you kill – where Desmond kills Lucy? Is that her name?
Yep,
that was the twist ending where I was like, what – where do you go from here? obviously they didn't really have to really figure it out. But I remember that like being such a huge like thing, and then like the kind of post credits not scene, but like you hear dialogue and it's like kind of tease of like, oh shit, is that Desmond's dad? Like what we're getting into like all of this like modern stuff. That was such a huge moment I remember, and like I had to text my friend because who had already played it and I had borrowed it from, of like just us just like going off on like all these theories, and he was stoked that I had beaten it, so like he could finally talk about it with somebody. That was like really, really special. But really quick, I also want to shout out the trailers from that era, right? Like, you want to talk about like getting hyped for Assassin's Creed 3, right? Like, one of the big reasons, and it's just because it built off of like the trailers for like 2 and Brotherhood and even Revelations, was the, I forget if it was Studio Blur who did those, but like those really gorgeous looking cinematic trailers that just like really set the tone. I remember the kind of mission that the trailer for 3 was based off of, and it was just such a fucking hype trailer. So shout out to the trailers of old.
You know, one more since we're kind of throwing things around.
Baby.
One I'll never forget, cross-gen, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and Assassin's Creed Rogue. Remember that of like having the two games come out, but like being on different gens? That was very interesting.
See, I don't know. I forget if Rogue was actually cross-gen, though.
Well, I don't think it was cross.
That there's two different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the two different SKUs.
I'll never forget that. Always thinking like, man, I'm never gonna play Rogue, right? Like, yeah. I'm never going back to see.
Thankfully, I held on to my 360 for the longest time, Mike, and that was the only reason why I was able to play Rogue. But it was because of the time. There was no way to play the Batman Arkham games on modern platforms until Return to Arkham came out. So like that was like I had that 360. I think until the day Return to Arkham was announced, I was like, all right, I can finally let this thing die.
So many of you wrote in, but we're already out of time, but I want to toss into some of the funny ones, some of the heartwarming ones. Just really quickly, lightning round. Thom wrote in. This is one of my favorite ones. I found it so interesting when Assassin's Creed 3 opens with Haytham Kenway climbing the inside of a theater during a performance of a play. The audacity of Ubisoft to have me believe that this guy in wool revolutionary outfits could quietly sneak around the inner perimeter balcony without gallons of sweat dripping on the guests below, all because they were so engaged in this play, shows that plays are brain rot dog shit. Video games are true art.
Oh no.
A scathing review of the theater. Scathing review.
That, you know what? That intro way too long, but it's still a cool moment where you realize that Haytham Kenway is a Templar and not an assassin.
Sure. Gage Luke wrote in and said, Black Flag is and forever will be the best AC game. It just fulfilled that fantasy in all the quintessential ways. Plus, the tomb/dungeon areas were enhanced by having that hidden treasure vibe to them. Mm. It was also the last time I felt the modern era stuff had any relevance to the story. Black Flag, what a game.
No, What a game.
And I'm sure Skull and Bones will capitalize on all of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Ty Harrington wrote in and said, Assassin's Creed 2, Christmas morning. I believe it was the only time my dad, as opposed to my mom, went to buy me a game as a present. He'd bought me some special edition or other. I know it came in a shiny cardboard sleeve. He couldn't believe how expensive it had been. I dragged the TV downstairs from my room, set it up in the dining table at the end of the living room. I'd never played the original, but had heard so much, and this was so good. I threw it in my 360 and booted it up, and me and my brothers sat there for 20 minutes avoiding admitting how confused we both were that we were in some weird futuristic tech facility and not fighting through Italy hundreds of years ago. Once we got deep enough into the game, we were both hooked. It's the last game I have the memory of playing all day and all night, the day I got it, and had me hooked on the series. You know, Marvin's like me, finding the last feather and getting my first platinum trophy ever in AC2. Of course, great platinum AC2, and most of the ACs after that. I like this one from Andrew. In my high school psychology class, I became friends with this kid who sat in front of me. I don't remember his name or really anything about him, but I do remember that he told me his favorite series was Assassin's Creed. At the time, he was looking forward to Assassin's Creed Revelations. For me, he was one of the first peers I connected with over video games.
Oh.
I hope he's doing well. And looking forward to playing Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Yo, shout out to that kid, man. That's a good story. I like that.
My final favorite story off of your responses over on kindoffunny.com/rememberblank. comes from Beastie. He wrote in with two, and he says, the second was that I had a glitch in Valhalla in a side mission where a child pickpockets this merchant, and you have to catch up with the kid. But for some reason, the game switched skins, and the pickpocket was a very small adult man,
yes.
And the merchant was an adult-sized child.
Why not? Why
and it
not?
Was the, to date the funniest glitch I've ever seen in a game.
Oh.
I could go on and on about Assassin's Creed. We probably should. We'll do a sequel. Because
yeah, we should
ones.
Do more, man. Because I, dude, real quick, I had a great one in Mirage, right? It's a side mission. You go up to the top of the tower, little kid on the tower. He's like, yo, bro, I'm going to jump off this.
And oh,
he's
I saw
like,
it. Yeah.
You got to follow me. My favorite shit. The guy jumps off and he goes, just jump. It's like, in what context are we telling little kids to jump off the side of the tower, man?
I love that moment. I love it. But it is funny. It is. There is some dissonance there.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of Remember Blank on a day where the studio doesn't work. Thank you for hanging out and supporting us on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Remember, we are taking more and more and never-ending amounts of your video game memories at kindoffunny.com/rememberblank. Right now, I need your Spider-Man and Comic-Con video game memories. So get them in for me over there and to be on the show. But until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.